You lectured at IHMC about architectural tuning. What exactly is that?
Well, there's a lot of activity in building, which are to do with very, very different purposes, which are maybe production or religion or people being isolated or being in large communities. So there's very large difference of sizes and scales of building activity around a town, a country, the globe. And there's an understanding that all this activity is somehow miraculously ordered to make sense. But that's a delusion. Because most building which happens is done without, let's say, an idea what all this activity will end up it, what will be the shape which we'll end up having. And a lot of building activity of the last century was quite simply chaotic.
So have our communities gotten out of tune, or were they just never in tune to start with?
Well, it's a very colorful picture. For instance, Pensacola is now much better than when I was here 30 years ago. So some place become better, more attractive. And I couldn't imagine 20 years ago that Pensacola would become an attractive place. And now, just by having maybe 3 dozens of buildings restored and some new buildings which are behaving decently, which are finely tuned, let's say, it's a promise of a great place happening.
So was it the automobile that sort of shocked us out of tune with walkable cities?
Well, the automobile is just a symptom. It's not the cause. Clearly, there had been an energy coming in 200 years ago, which humans were not accustomed to, which is fossil fuel energies, and they have so much increased our power of production, but it hasn't increased our power of judgment, of aesthetic judgment, of planning judgment, so that we are in time of learning. And in a way, we are the first generation who tried to correct something which had gone terribly wrong.
Does this concept of tuning a community or a city and also achieving this aesthetic value, is that coexistent with an effective, efficient city?
Well, in order to tune, you need something. You need an instrument which is already well-built, well-configured, well-structured, and has a certain stability. Andreas Tuani, who is a famous planner in this country, who has developed the Urban Transect, which is an instrument how to order buildings according to location, or how to read a territory according to its shape, its size, you know, the densities, and so on. And this tuning I talk about is more how all these building activities which builds towns and villages and hamlets, how that can be refined to really produce beautiful places.
Well, one of the parts of any city today, of course, is important is density. And I guess sort of a more modern concept has been that we want more density. But in researching your work, you're indicating that some of our big cities have simply become too dense. They've overloaded the streets, the infrastructure. Talk about the matter of density. I mean, a lot of people said that density was the way to avoid urban sprawl. And so people look at some of your work and say, well, he wants to spread things out again, but you're not talking about urban sprawl.
No, I not only talk about horizontal urban sprawl, which most people understand for suburbs to be, but also about vertical sprawl, that most of our city centers are already being excessively densified, which is actually a complement to the excessive horizontal spread. And whereas the city is something which is much more complex, it needs a specific size, a specific density, and a specific shape in order to be efficient. So it cannot be going from one excess, from horizontal excess to vertical excess, but what is the right composition? And now, as economic and human activities which a city generates are extremely diversified and don't want to be too much controlled, because otherwise you kill it. It needs some common sense, something which everybody agrees about, some rules which are like 10 commandments, which you don't go against without feeling bad or without knowing that you go the wrong way. And so you first need to know what is going wrong in order to put it right. And I think we're about to understand that in a phenomena like the metropolis didn't exist in pre-industrial, pre-fossil fuel age. So what is that phenomenon that it does not end up, if we go on building, to plan in terminal congestion? And so I think the understanding is that because humans haven't really changed in shape, there's some constant, both for what is a living room, but also what is a town square or what is an urban district or what is a metropolis, that you need to understand the limits, and beyond you just start another operation. You do not go on expanding the same town forever. You have to multiply rather than to overexpand.
So in other words, you have said you think the ideal height for buildings in cities is 3 to 5 stories, although those wouldn't necessarily be the same height of buildings because of variations in building. So given that sort of thing and the focus on density, you think it's better to have smaller clusters of density as opposed to one mega city?
Well, I understand the large city to be in a family of small cities. They all have their own character and they have some specific function, which is unique maybe, but they should all be so complete that the community which lives there, the 5,000 or 10,000 or 2,000 people who live there, can perform most of their daily or weekly activities on foot. That does not prevent you from doing other activities which are automotive or traveling, but at least that those things which you do normally in a regular and repetitive pattern should be able to, out of choice, do on foot. So it's a walkable city, not only horizontally, but also vertically.
Which means rejecting another one of our modern ideas, which was zoning that separated everything into certain areas. At one time, we believed we didn't want our shopping to be near our homes, to be near our schools, and we put them all in different areas, and then we ended up with having to drive everywhere.
Well, zoning is a very mysterious phenomenon, which can be explained in certain fashions, but which became law even there where it was not necessary. It became necessary in the 19th century when industries were highly toxic and when terribly noisy, and so you wanted to separate them out. And there are certain production plant for cars you don't want to have in the middle of city. It's too big. And so is an airport. But there is, by building urban communities of a limited size, between those communities, you have spaces which are of geographic nature for rivers, mountains, but also for exceptionally sized operations like airports. But you get a scale and a hierarchy which makes sense and which is legible by every intelligent customer, whereas now cities have become literally illegible. You need plans in order to, we were joking about the Pentagon, how impossible it is to find one's way, even if you have used it for a lifetime. But cities, in a way, you know very little about cities, whereas a legible city, you use it once and you know how it is geographically organized.
So to really be a friendly and efficient community, people should be able to easily know their way around.
Well, cities are for people, so you shouldn't really need a map in a daily fashion to get around your city.
Well, you had mentioned Pensacola and how much it's changed in 30 years, and certainly it has. You think we're headed in the right direction, or where do we need to go in the future?
Well, I'm talking about Pensacola, I know, which is just the two streets and squares in the center. I think when you look at it from an aeroplane, it is such a vast operation, which is mostly suburban. And I think it's this suburban expanse which in the future need to be reorganized. But I think the centers which become really much more complex and much more interesting and much more attractive artifacts will be the model of how to reform the suburbs.
How do you know when you've reached that tipping point in the, say, a city center where you're headed to where you want to go? Is it simply that suddenly people think, hey, I want to live there?
Yes, I think that's the best. I even felt this, going the five streets which are so attractive here, one could actually live here. Because once you have the right scale, a demonstration of the right scale, which is not just a survival of the deep past, but it's something new. It's renovated, but it's a new object which is used by young people and by old people, and everybody likes them and reveres them and wants them to be a model for what you want.